This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Morning, you alright? I hope you are. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, rocking and raring for the day ahead. I hope so. It's now 8 minutes. Oh, no, not 8 minutes. Just 8 hours into the day. 8 a.m. British summertime. On Friday. It's already Friday. Thank F it's Friday. The 1st of May. 1st of May. Gosh, the year's going quick in the year of our Lord, 2026. It's going quick, isn't it? Feels like only the other day I was starting the Bow Show. In January, the beginning of January, right? Feels like only yesterday. Bloody hell. Months ago now, already. Breakfast with Bo, formerly known as Breakfast with Bo. You're the glorious band, the chosen few. You know who you are, I don't need to tell you. My band of brothers and sisters. Watching this live, tuning in live. Saying stuff in the chat. Brilliant. What more could a boy ask for? Basically the best people in the world. But I mean, what are you going to do though? Going to watch Mike Graham? Don't be silly. Why would you? To be physically grossed out and listen to absurd, reform-tard, milquetoast takes. Stupid takes. Jeremy Kyle, please. Please, don't even. As if. As if you would. I'm joined by Harry, my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Good. Good, good, good. Should we just get straight into it? Should we stop fannying about? Just get straight into what the legacy corporate mainstream media is talking about this morning. Oh, lovely cup of tea, still a bit too hot, really. What are they trying to tell you is or isn't important? What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors lying to you about by omission, if nothing else, this morning? What have we got? All right. PM vows to act, not deport people, though. And brace for more terror attacks. Britain. Just brace for more terror attacks. It's going to happen. PM vows to act, but not really. Not actually do what's necessary. Okay. The Guardian. Ugh. The Guardian. Terrible. Ridiculous blight on our country. An insane subversive fifth columnist. Commie rag. Insane, insane. They say PM vows to act against protesters. Oh, that's how he plans to act. Against protesters who venerate the murders of Jews. The murder of Jews. Okay. Not the actual original thing that causes the murder of Jews. Just anyone who might venerate it after the fact. Right. I mean, he always jumps whenever the Jewish community say he needs to. He's got a Jewish wife, isn't he? But also endlessly stands for Islam, doesn't he? Also, like, invite people to do the call to prayer in the middle of Westminster Hall for no real reason. Constantly talking about Islamophobia, working hand in glove with Khan, Sadiq Khan, to make Islamophobia a thing. So doing everything he can at every turn on behalf of the Islamic community but also apparently is extremely concerned whenever the Jewish community is attacked. And all the while just sort of trying to pretend vaguely, broadly, that it's just British anti-Semitism. Just British anti-Semitism. Just British Islamophobia. Mad, isn't it? How has he not... Well, I was going to say, how has he not got loads of cognitive dissonance? Well, any normal person would if they tried to juggle all those concepts and ideas and make them all make sense. I'm not sure if he does, because he's just like a robot, isn't he? It's a queer Stalin. It's like some strange robot man. Barnum Mahmood there. Great. All right. Terror threat level raised as shock of knife attack hits Jewish community. In the scheme of things, is it all that shocking? What do you expect? If you've got millions and millions of Muslims in the country and tens of thousands of them, that's no exaggeration, that are on terrorist watch lists. Isn't that the case? Doesn't the police and the MI5 say from time to time roughly how many people that are on their terror watch lists at any given time? Islamists, specifically Islamists. And it's tens of thousands. They don't usually talk about that very much. Well, they only release those figures rarely. Yeah, if you're going to have a country that you've let tens of thousands of militant Islamists into the country that are a genuine worry, then is it all that shocking when they do violent crimes? What's shocking about it? What did you think was going to happen? Terror threat level raised. Yeah, they raised it to like severe, I think. It's a severe threat. I mean, it's all theatre nonsense anyway, isn't it? That thing. It came in after 9/11. I grew up in a world where you didn't have such a thing. I remember straight after 9/11, the Americans got something like that, and then not long after, maybe it was after 7/7, we got one. A terror threat level, warning level. What? Can't we just live in a society where it's in very, very, very rare? We used to live in a society like that. There was no sort of tiers of how likely a terrorist event was. It was just super rare. No, can't have that anymore. No, because we've got open borders. We've got a multicultural society now. So, well, don't be a bigot. Just have your nose rubbed in it and accept that. That's what they would say, of course. That's not my take. I'm speaking for them. Oh, it's severe now, is it? Oh, all right. Second highest level. The only level above that is when they've got like clear intelligence that one's definitely imminent. Just below that, severe. Is it just really likely? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying it's not a severe risk of more terrorist events. It is. Yeah, that is right. Thanks. Yeah, thanks Cameron, thanks Brown, thanks Boris, thanks Theresa, thanks Rishi. Thanks Dharma, thanks for doing that. Alright. There's the strange Jewish-only police weird thing. Is it the Shomrim? Weird. Probably get someone in the chat or in the comments saying, that's not weird. That's not weird. Loads of different communities have their own sort of local police. Yeah, all of that's weird. Yeah, all of that's weird. Yeah, it is, yeah. Okay. We'll come back to this because it's all over the front pages again today. Iran will keep control of Hormuz, the Hormuz Straits, says Khomeini via a written statement because still nobody's seen him. Apparently missing a leg now and lots of his face or lips are burnt so terribly that he can't really speak properly. And they've obviously made the decision, if he's alive, if you even believe he's actually alive. He's not a Potemkin Ayatollah. If he is actually still alive, we haven't seen him, so we can't really confirm that, can we, for sure. But if he is, perhaps he's so badly maimed, they've made the decision not to show him. He's all burnt up, blown, half blown up. Anyway, he's said, he said that Iran will never give up control of the Straits of Hormuz, despite Mr. Trump's blockade. They'll never give up their right to enrich uranium. Same old, same old, same old stuff. Not really budging on anything big, anything that the State Department and the Donald and Bibi would want them, need them to budge on. Not budging on any of that. According to, like, the ghost Ayatollah. You call him that? I just called him that. I've not read that anywhere else. I just said that for the first time there. The ghost Ayatollah. Okay. Okay. Well, the Sun. Golders Green horror. Brace for more terror attacks. But more safe and legal routes, yeah?
Right. Okay.
More safe and legal routes. No question from this government of leaving the ECHR or passing any more stronger legislation that allows us to deport people. Millions must go. They must. Otherwise this just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until you're in a Yugoslavia type situation. We should deal with it now in this generation, in this decade, if we can, or the next. The best we can hope for is for Restore to get in 2029, so it'll be dealt with, if that's the case, hopefully dealt with in the 2030s. And if it's not dealt with at that point, we slide in a very, very real sense towards a never-ending tribal, religious, ethnic, sectarian nightmare. Where this is just constant. Constant. No one's safe. No one. At the moment, with this government and this opposition, there's still just no question of actually dealing with it, is it? Is there? More safe and legal routes, they'll say. More safe and legal routes. Madness. Can't deport this guy. Oh, it emerged back in about 2008 or so. He stabbed a police officer and the police officer's dog. And was imprisoned, quote unquote, indefinitely. But was just out in a few years. They put him on prevent, though. That'll work. Oh, no, prevent closed the case on him within months. So he's just out again, just walking, general public, general population, just walking around. How he wasn't deported? Why was he not deported? He's Somali born. They kept calling him a British citizen, a British national. Okay, well, he might have a bit of paper. Well, he does have a bit of paper saying that his nationality is British, but he's Somalian born, so he's a Somali. He is just a Somali. So after you, like, you know, something like stabbing a police officer and his dog and being detained indefinitely, just not anywhere near indefinitely, not anywhere near, so that whole thing was a nonsense as well. Just let him out. Surely deport him back to his... strip him of his citizenship and deport him back to Somalia at that point. No. No, just let him out. Prevent will take care of it, except they won't. Didn't. We can't strip him of his citizenship. That would be sort of an un-British thing to do. We've got to do what's necessary to keep people safe, haven't we? But at this moment, just brace for more terror attacks. That's it. Brits were last night told to brace for more terror attacks. Endless ones. Until millions are forced to leave. Type of people that do all this all the time. Yeah, brace for it, yeah. Alert raised to severe. Biggest threat for 5 years. Apparently now. Did the murder of Wayne Broadhurst increase the terror level? No. Because they ignored that one. Did the murder of Rhiannon White raise the terror level? Nope. Did the Prime Minister go to the scene of the crime and express his sympathies? Nope. Did he say anything? Nope. Like the Times, the venerable Times. Anyone but Ange campaign against Rayner leadership bid. Why do they write like that with that cadence? With no commas. Anyone but Ange campaign against Rayner leadership bid. What? Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah, so that's a story that a fair few people in Labour Parliamentary Party, just don't want Rayner. She has got a fair amount of support in the party itself, the Parliamentary Party. And as far as reporting goes, I don't know, I'm not a Labour supporter, I don't move in Labour circles, but apparently, according to those in the know, she's quite popular amongst just the membership of Labour. Just the normal people that pay a little bit of money and are a card-carrying member of the Labour Party. So, the way Labour Party sort of leadership elections work is quite convoluted. But you have probably many candidates, many of the big beasts going forward for the job. And, like, the Parliamentary Party people, the actual MPs, they get to vote. All the normal membership people get a vote. I think loads of people in the various unions that are affiliated to Labour, they get a vote. And it's even more complicated than that. You get to vote for your first choice, your second choice, and your third choice. Like, your second choice is worth a fraction of what your first choice is worth, and the third, and so on. And they collate them all up and add them all up, and it seems to me a fairly needlessly complicated way of doing things, but okay, that's how they do it. And so, in other words, it might not be... Oh, and then they whittle it down from, you know, the half dozen or so people that are going to probably attempt it, whittle it down to two, and then you have a runoff between those two. That's how they're going to do it, probably. Unless one person is just sort of got a so-called coronation, and it's just in. Okay, so people say that Ange of the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, has got so much popularity that... should she make it just to those last two, that she'll probably win overall because of how popular she is among the membership. So, if for every reason you're in the Labour Party, or Parliamentary Labour Party, and you don't want Rayner, what you've really got to do is try and arrange it, try and contrive things so that she doesn't make it into the final two. Somehow relegate her to sort of the third most popular. And then that's asking something, because there's not a deep bench of talent, is there? So as pathetic and lame and laughable as she is, there's not three other people that are obviously better and more popular than her within the party. Nonetheless, there you go, we're told. Anyone but Ange campaign against Rayner leadership bid. Shouldn't there be some inverted commas or just some commas in that headline? Oh, they don't do that, though, do they? Okay. It would be embarrassing, wouldn't it, Angela Rayner? I mean, properly embarrassing. Not as embarrassing as Lammy. It'd be a bit embarrassing, it really would. I mean, someone like Yvette Cooper, don't like her, I don't like her politics. But I wouldn't necessarily be completely embarrassed to see her as Prime Minister. Even Wes Streeting. Angela Rayner, I would be quite embarrassed when she goes on a state visit to France or the United States or something. Like this freak woman, she's our leader, she's our head of government. my stupid sunglasses and shoes, saying stupid things in a stupid voice. Okay. UK terror threat severe after anti-Semitic attacks. Okay. Level is highest in 4 years. I thought it was 5 years, according to the other paper. Pressure to ban pro-Palestine protests. Oh, the Prime Minister pledged another £25 million to protect mosques. Right, that was an expensive knife attack. Just that one single knife attack in which neither of the people died. You get £25 million. From that. 25 million quid. Quite a lot of dough, isn't it? How much money was pledged to protect random dog walkers from Afghan asylum seekers after Wayne Broadhurst? None, not a penny. Extra money to help protect care workers that care for asylum seekers that might stab them in the neck with a screwdriver for refusing them biscuits? Nope, not a penny. Not even mention it. This, 25 million quid. Rally outside Downing Street. And it's still not enough. It's still absolutely nowhere near enough for them. They have a little protest saying that Keir Starmer is a Jew harmer. So whatever he does and says will never ever be enough either. Right, the Mirror. Joanna Lumley's turned 80. Yeah, she should probably retire. She should probably give it a rest. Perfectly honest. And she seemed ancient and haggard in like the 90s when she was in AbFab. She looks more or less the same. Must have had loads of work done, I don't know. Okay, she's 80. Probably time to just shut up now. She's extremely woke, by the way, if you didn't know. So, like nearly all lovies are. Because they don't have to live in the real world, particularly. The rise of anti-Semitism. There's a picture of the guy as a younger man. Before he got really fat. Okay. There's the Starmer bot. Trying to tell Jewish people that he's got their best interests at heart. An attack on all of us. No, it's very specifically an attack on the Jewish community. PM, decent people should open their eyes to Jewish pain and fear. Just Jewish pain and fear. It's somehow special, somehow different than the pain and fear of everyone else. Is it? Why is it? Why? Why is that? Why are you saying that? Why are you telling me that? How is it? Is it? Jewish pain and fear is somehow more important than anyone else's pain and fear. Is it, though? What about the pain and fear of random, normal, native people that might just be walking their dog down the street and get murdered? What about those people's pain and fear? Not a word, not a word. Right. Right. I see. You're walking down the street in Nottingham. Just murdered. Standing at a bus stop. In Birmingham or something. Just murdered. That's not as an important pain and fear. That's not as important, apparently. Knife suspect had been referred to counter-terrorism program, yeah, Prevent. And they closed their case within months, even though he'd already been, as I said, he'd already been sentenced to an indefinite time in prison, but let out. Right. That's he's dead. Independent, PM, I call on all decent people to open their eyes to Jewish fear. Oh, it's a question of decency, is it? Oh, it's a question of decency. If you don't put Jewish pain and fear above that of your own in-group, above that of native people, you're not decent. Right. Okay. That is explicitly some sort of two-tier morality, isn't it? Just very, very explicitly then. Talking about Saturday Night Live, terrible, terrible show, ridiculous show. The British, they've made a British version. Saturday Night Live was already dying on its ass in America for being so obnoxiously woke. It used to be great, right, in the 70s and 80s, even into the 90s. Loads of people that were great comedians would be on it. Often be a springboard for your career to go on into films. And at some point decided it got the memo about being super, super woke and anti-American, anti-white, anti-Western. Now it's dying on its ass because it's not very funny. So now we'll make a British version of it.
Okay.
And it's stupidly woke. I mean, not funny at all. Not funny at all. Okay. All right. The Independent. Knife suspect was investigated for extremist views. Man accused of stabbing Jews in London named as Essa Suleiman. That's his name, yeah. Essa Suleiman. As it emerged, he was referred to counter-terrorism program Prevent, and police reveal, quote, history of serious violence and mental health issues. How he wasn't deported after he was let out of prison is stupid, isn't it? Crazy, crazy. How King saved special relationship. I mean, did he really? It's not like a few days or a couple of weeks from now, Starmer, Trump will ask something of Starmer again and Starmer will refuse again. And then we're right back to where we were. Trump and Starmer are extremely different men with entirely different worldviews and policy platforms. King Charles going over and making a few jokes at a lectern is not going to change that, is it? Okay, the Daily Telegraph, picture of, what is that, Emily Attack? Don't care what she's doing or saying, don't care anything about that. Met accuses Polanski of stoking tensions. Yeah, so, Zach Polanski, real name Dave Paulden. Avi Exley Paulden. Yeah, he came out yesterday and criticised the police officers that kicked that guy, Essa Suleiman, in the head. So Essa Suleiman's walking down the road with a knife in his hand still. Police officers are like yelling at him to get down on the ground, you know, surrender basically. He's not, he just keeps walking towards them. So they tase him. Like he goes stiff as a board and just falls over, face plant sort of thing. But hasn't let go of the knife. Now, whether that will be because the taser's like making his muscles tense up or not, I don't know and I don't care about that. He's not letting go of the knife. And so when he's on the ground after being tased, police officers are like yelling at him, let go of the knife, let go of the knife. For whatever reason, he's not. So they boot him in the head like three or four times. Not insanely hard punts to the temple. But they do kick him in the head three or four times. Oh, well. Could not care less. Don't ask me to have sympathy for murderous terrorists. He didn't. His victims aren't actually dead, are they? But he had murderous intent, obviously. Don't ask me to have sympathy for actual terrorists. Because I haven't got any. And yet, you get loads of bleeding heart liberals, whether they're just general purpose bleeding hearts, they've got suicidal empathy, or whether they're actual fifth columnist traitors. Either way, a bunch of people on Twitter, a bunch of people from all over the spectrum, say, oh, that was bad. That was heavy-handed. The police booting that man in the head. That man, that poor man who suffers from mental illness. Why are you kicking a mentally ill man in the head who's tased? Really? Really? That's what you're worried about in all of this? People that are saying that, they're part of the problem. They're absolutely part of the problem. That's what Zach Polanski, real name Dave Paulden, decided to go with. Green leader shares online post criticising police officers who tackled terror suspect. Yeah, of course he did. Because that's who he is. That's who the Greens are. apart from the few credulous actual environmentalists that still work for them, work with them. I imagine there will be still a few credulous environmentalists. Mostly Green Party are just arch commies, like true socialists so much that Labour isn't good enough for them, or the Socialist Workers' Party isn't hard left enough for them, or Islamists. Either way, they hate Britain and our civil society and the small amount of rule of law we've still got. They hate even that. So kicking a terrorist in the head is not okay to them. It wasn't even a really hard kick. Don't ask me to have any sympathy for him getting kicked in the head. Okay. Little story here. Run on tumble dryers after Miliband's net zero ban. Apparently that's something about tumble dryers. After a certain point, in fact, I scanned that article this morning. Said something like imminently, I think it said. So not quite yet, but not far into the future. Tumble dryers, or at least some types of tumble dryer, well, you won't be able to buy them anymore because of net zero and Ed Miliband. So loads of people are buying them right now, apparently. If you're in the market for a new tumble dryer, probably get one soon. Probably do that sooner rather than later. Maybe today. Seize the day. Carpe diem. Get your tumble dryers in while you can. Inflation could hit 6% over Iran, warns bank chief, Bank of England. It's that currently the Bank of England kept the interest rate steady yesterday at, I think, what was it? Off the top of my head, 3.7%, which isn't great. Already that's on top of years of inflation, higher than that. Inflation of 3.7 is still pretty bad. It could go as high as 6 there. Another headline we've got says 5%. But either way. So just everything just keep getting more and more expensive all the time. Everything. All right. The Express. So it's a good paper. Get a load of this. This old fella. Hirsch, his name is. Mervyn Hirsch. As UK terror threat is raised to severe after Golders Green Jewish war... After Golders Green, Jewish war hero Mervyn Hirsch, who's 101, issues a stark warning. He said, quote, "Antisemitism reveals diseased minds and corrupt societies, and it eventually leads to the Holocaust, which we must not only learn about, but never ever forget, so that it can never happen anywhere again." You don't want to talk about Islam, though. No mention of Islam. It's just general anti-Semitism. Mervyn. Yeah? You're trying to suggest there's no difference between... You're basically trying to suggest, by referencing the Holocaust there, that there's no difference between 1920s, 1930s style German anti-Semitism and just Brits in the 2020s. You've not mentioned Islam there, or foreign-born people at all. You're just suggesting that Britain is diseased, got diseased mind collectively, and is a corrupt society. You don't want to mention Islam? No? Okay. Thanks, Marv. Cheers, Marv. All right. The Financial Times, ECB and BOE, European Central Bank and Bank of England warn of rate rises as Iran war takes toll, energy shock spurs inflation pressure, US growth falls short of expectations. Yeah. They've got to calculate our growth in a very, very, very specific way in order to not have it show that we're in recession. We basically are in recession. So our growth will be what, 0.1, 0.2, maybe 0.3%, something like that. And that was too rosy of an expectation. It is a recession, isn't it? They're just doing everything they possibly can to just measure it in that certain way. on manoeuvres. Merz, the Chancellor of Germany, faces fresh salvo from Trump as leaders trade barbs over Mideast. That's funny. Chancellor Merz was in the Oval Office not too long ago, wasn't it? Just a few weeks ago. And Trump was being all kind to him and nice. And but then as soon as Merz left the Oval Office, I think pretty much as soon as he did, I think maybe in the corridor of the White House, he was saying, no, Trump, things Trump just said I don't completely agree with. And Trump sort of suggested we're entirely on the same page on certain things, and we're not really. One way or another, I'm paraphrasing. But yeah, now they're trading barbs over the Mideast now. Right, yeah. Because it's no more Germany's war than it is Britain's war. Israel gave UAE high-tech laser system to fend off drone and missile barrages. You mean the drone, the laser system that they bought from the United States, they gave to the UAE. That's what you mean, isn't it? Yeah, okay. The Eye paper. Tori Amos says, I bring a wine cellar on tour with me. I bet you do. Burnout. Rainer's warning to Starmer. More and more young people are feeling hopeless. What a shameless person she is. Like, she's the bright new hope. Like, she's the champion of young people. Like, she can change the very nature, the fabric of our society to favour native young people. Now she wants to try and make, or is obviously trying to make, a leadership bid. Her vision for Britain, Rainer's Britain, is more hopeful. Yeah, right. Everyone says she'll take the party further to the left. Further to the left than Starmer. More traitorous and ruinous for our people than the government already is. Why would anyone believe it? Why would anyone possibly believe that it's anything other than personal ambition? Like, she's got she's on a true crusade for a better, brighter Britain. She's got a vision, a clear vision, politically. No, she hasn't. She hasn't got any of those things, has she? She just wants to be Prime Minister. She just wants to be on that list in the history books of people that have been the Prime Minister. That's all. That's all. Just like David Cameron and Boris Johnson. There's nothing more to it than that. And Rishi. And nearly all of them. Nearly all of them. Former Deputy Prime Minister Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, says Generation Z, I will always say Generation Z, by the way, not Z, Generation Z, are stuck in, quote, this trap of poverty, a system that feels rigged against them, and they are feeling nothing changes for them. Yeah, what are you actually going to do about that in any profound sense? Doesn't really tell you that. She's just recognising that they do feel hopeless. Great. What's that worth? What is that worth? Nothing. She says that the struggle to buy homes, find work and escape debt is changing young people's psychology. Okay, what's your plan for it then? Oh, you haven't got one. Right. Rayner says her son, 29, quote, can't even afford a dentist. Well, you're super rich. Pay for him to go to a private dentist then. That's what she said she had to. He can't even afford to go to a dentist at 29. What, has he not got a job at all? It's not that expensive. It depends what work he was having done, doesn't it? He had to ask me to borrow to get his teeth done. Couldn't you just give him the money? Aren't you his mum? What do you mean borrow? Aren't you really rich? She also said, and this is a quote, more and more young people feel there isn't an investment in their future now. Yeah. That no matter how much, sorry, this text is so small. I keep complaining about my eyes, don't I? That no matter how much you run on the treadmill, you are not going to make it. Yeah. Yep. Blair's Britain, the type of Britain that Blair created, set in motion, that 14 years of Tories did nothing to reverse, and that you guys now are continuing. And you personally, Angela the Fridge Rayner, Big Bird, would go even further down that route. That's what's created that. You guys have done that. And just by recognising it isn't enough, is it? Isn't nowhere near good enough. Oh, you expect all the young people to vote for you now? Because you've said that. Cabinet speculation on Rayner's own future leadership ambitions. All right, yeah. She wants to be the leader, doesn't she? The Metro, ugh. The Metro goes with something slightly different. It's probably the second or third biggest story today in the news. Is that there's a new Act of Parliament that comes into force today to do with landlords and renters. It's a little bit dry, a little bit boring. Actually reasonably important, but a little bit dry and boring, so I won't spend too much time on it. But the Metro says, gleeful student sees on rent law change. May Day for landlords. It's just giving more rights to people that rent. Not necessarily all that bad. I mean, maybe it depends how you look at it. Some landlords do take the absolute mickey. There's no doubt about that. Are all of them evil? No. Is there something fundamentally, conceptually wrong with being a landlord? No. That's what the left would have you believe. But do some of them take the mickey? Yeah. It's things like... Okay, there's various elements to it. One is a landlord used to be able to evict someone that was renting their property. You had to give them a few months' notice, 3 or 4 months' notice or something. Oh, no, sorry, less than that, sorry. So you had to give them like at least 1 month's notice, and then you could evict them for whatever reason. Now you can't do that. Now there has to be an actual reason. That doesn't seem entirely fair to me. Oh, but then there's another bit where it says, even if there is a reason, you have to give renters at least 2 months' notice. That seems reasonable. Like a landlord could be really out of order and say, right, you've got 30 days and then you've got to be out. I don't care about you and your life and your circumstances and what's going on with you. You're just out in 30 days. That is a bit harsh on the renter, isn't it? So there's loads and loads of things. Again, I'll move on. I won't bore you with it, but there's loads and loads of things like that. Little tweaks and changes around that. It's one of the biggest stories on the papers today. Okay, the Daily Star. They go with utter slop, don't they? Britain hotter than Egypt. I mean, for one day or something. It ain't half hot, mummy. There was a television show a long time ago, what, the 70s? The 1970s? Called It Ain't Half Hot, Mum. Harry, have you ever even heard of the show It Ain't Half Hot, Mum?
No, never.
Right. Right, why would you? It's before my time, even. Start going with, it ain't a half-hot mummy. We'll Photoshop in a mummy and, like, a British man who's sweaty. Print. Genius. Apparently today, the 1st of May, is supposed to be the hottest day of the year so far. It'll be nice. It'll be nice. Reasonably warm yesterday. All right, though, they are the front pages. We did a poll. I didn't have time this morning to tell Harry what I want the poll to be or anything, so he's just done it. Harry, did you even ask the chat what they thought the poll should be?
I did.
All right. But... Okay. So what's about to come up on my screen, I've got no idea what it will be. So this is... Okay. Really don't know. You've said... Who would you want to have absolute power over the UK? That's not a bad one. That's not bad. I like it. Did you get that idea from chat or did you come up with that one?
Just no, so you. I got some of the names from chat, but the question's mine.
Yeah? Yeah, cool. Okay. That's probably better. That's better than what I was thinking. I was trying to make it something relevant to the headlines. That's better. Maybe we can do that more often. Ask the chat what they want the poll to be.
Yeah.
All right. And what have we got here? Okay, who would you want to have absolute power over in the UK? And your options were David Lammy, Jeremy Clarkson, Sadiq Khan, and Nigel Farage. Were they the chats? Like,
Yeah, so some of them were. I kind of just wanted to see Jeremy Clarkson win it.
Okay, and the results are... Ready? Jeremy Clarkson wins it with an absolute landslide, a stonking landslide. I suppose you put all other crap ones though, didn't you? To make to make Clarkson win. Nonetheless, well, it worked. It worked. 89% say they want Jezza. I quite like Jezza. Over the years, I've fluctuated on how much I like him. At the moment, I like him quite a lot. Yeah, he's good. He's reasonably based, isn't he? All right. The eyes have Jeremy Clarkson smashes it. 5% say David Lammy. Lammy is my Kang in the chat, most affected. Sorry, bro. You got dunked on there. A mere 5% want David Lammy. 1% want Sadiq Khan, and I must assume that 1% was a troll. I'm going to assume that. And 4% wanted Nigel Farage. Staunch restorers here at Breakfast with Bo Show. You would have thought maybe Nigel might get more than that. But no. People want Jezza. Give us Jezza or give us death. All right. Okay, it's already 1:45. Should we have a quick look at the front pages? Or quick look at the price of oil? I like doing that more kind of on a daily basis. Why not? It's high. It's not as high as yesterday. I forgot to do it yesterday, but yesterday was an all-time higher. Well, not all-time higher. All-time higher since the beginning of the Iran war. Brent was up at like over $120. Did it even go like 125 or something yesterday? It's back down to 111, which is still high. West Texas, 105. High. It's really high. Yeah. It's high, isn't it? There's no other way to describe it. All right. The BBC, let's not talk about the terrorist thing anymore, because we've done that, haven't we, all morning so far. Here's a mildly interesting story, I thought. John Major. Anyone's old enough to remember, John Major was Prime Minister when I was a kid. He took over from Thatcher in 1990, very early 1991. Until Blair got in 1997. And he won against, Kinnock was it, in like 1992. Right? That's John Major, Conservative. And he was an arch Europhile. He was like as pro-Europe as Tony Blair was. Not a socialist, though. Far from, obviously, nothing like a socialist. But, you know. Woke, a globalist still. Not exactly open borders, but now, like a burnt out, haggard old boomer, just goes on about environmentalism. Won't mention Islam. Certainly won't talk about remigration or anything like that. Would rather we rejoin the EU. All that crap. All right. UK should not keep changing prime ministers, warned Sir John. He's not wrong about that. It's bad. In this article, I read this article this morning. Because we're running short of time already, I won't. So I was planning on maybe reading a big chunk of it, but I won't bother. He just says, you know, like, politics isn't a game show. It's not about your career as an individual politician. It's not about that. It's not about just reacting to whatever's in the headlines that day. It's about having a strong, long-term view. All good things, all interesting things. But he doesn't talk about what any of those things are. He doesn't talk about remigration. He doesn't talk about demographic replacement. He doesn't talk about anything, really. He just says, should concentrate on the big picture, but it doesn't tell us doesn't have the guts, the political balls, to really talk about what that really is. Classic John Major, really? Classic John Major. Acting like he's some great mind, like he's some great political mind, but in fact he's an empty bag. Like when Soros... Black Wednesday, when Soros stole the pound. John Major's pretty stupid. He's not a great politician. He thought he could take on currency markets. I've got a long form bit of content. It's in conversation with Dan Tubb, all about Black Wednesday. Was it Black Wednesday? Anyway, back in the 90s, John Major just made a series of really, really, really stupid, I mean, infantile, day one, 101 economist stuff, made a series of errors, which cost the country vast sums of wealth, ultimately. And George Soros made a packet out of it. And anyone, literally someone who's done like a GCSE or an A-level in economics would say, you shouldn't do that and then that and then double down on it and then again and again and again. But he thought he knew better. He doesn't know better. He doesn't know better. John Major's a bit of an idiot, to be perfectly honest. But he's this serious white-haired statesman now who knows how everything should be done. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Okay, cost of living crisis. Yeah, normal people can sort of barely live. Yeah. Great, well done. Is there something in the mail? Oh yeah, loads of Green councillors are Islamists. Yeah, loads and loads of Green councillors just say massively anti-Semitic things all the time. Wonder what Zach Polanski, real name Dave Paulden, wonder what his rabbi thinks about that. We know what his family think about it. They've sort of disowned him, haven't they? Nigel Farage says he's spoken to some French politician who might be for the French president one day and that he could maybe strike some sort of deal with him where we could put the Royal Navy in the channel. Haven't I been saying that for a while? I've been saying that for a while. I'm not the only one, of course. That was beyond the pale not very long ago. I was just ahead of the curve. Most of the things I said, nearly all the things I said in that Mallard article I wrote, which got me deselected from Reform, are now Reform policy. So my only crime, in inverted commas, was being ahead of the curve. Well, I'll wear that badge proudly. All right, the Sun. Was there anything of any real note in the Sun? Oh, in Australia, this Aboriginal man abducted and killed a little five-year-old. There you go. Lovely. All right, should we do On This Day in History? You guys like that. I like doing that one. I was going to change the website, but this morning I had a relatively small amount of time to do so, and the website I was going to change it to just so happened that this morning it was a pretty crap set of things. Like talking about baseball and stuff. I know most people on the Bow Show don't really care about sports ball, one way or another. Not even F1 or boxing. You're not really into any of that, are you? It seems. So, all right, for the last day, I'll stick with this website. All right, what have we got? It's not a brilliant set this morning, but okay. On this day in history, 1st of May, in the year 1707, Acts of Union came into force, uniting England and Scotland to form the Kingdom of Great Britain. Yeah. Was that for the best? Did it set us up to make a great world-spanning empire? The largest empire history has ever known. An empire where the sun never sets, a truly global empire. It dwarfs the Roman Empire at its height. Yeah. Dwarfs Alexander's empire. The Mongol Empire? Please. Peanuts. But now, England, Scotland. I'm sort of an English ultra. That's what I consider myself. England first and foremost. England before Great Britain. Every time, without fail. I am a unionist, though. If push came to shove, I am a unionist. But England first. Okay. On this day in 1753. Publication of A Species Plantarum by Carl Linnaeus. I don't know about this. I must admit, I don't really know about this. We're told it's the formal start date of plant taxonomy adopted by the International Code of Botanical Nomenclature. Okay. I can't really comment on that. I don't really know anything about it. Okay. They love stamps on this website as well, don't they? Don't they? They love talking about the Islamic conquests of Spain. And the postal service and stamps. Anyway, we're told on this day in 1840, the penny black, There's a picture of a Penny Black there, stamp. Penny Black. The world's first adhesive postage stamp is issued by United Kingdom. If you've got one of those, they're worth an insane amount of money. If you've got an old, like one of your granddad's or you, or something, they've got an old stamp collection in the loft or something. If you dig that out and you've got one of them, with Zin. Even a crappy one will be worth tens of thousands of pounds, maybe hundreds of thousands of pounds. A mint condition one from one of the first printings is worth millions. Millions for a stamp. Little stamp, normal size stamp. If it's an early one from the first print run and it's in mint condition, it hasn't got a stamp over the top of it or anything, it's not all crumbled. Millions, millions. If it's any sort of Penny Black at all, even in terrible condition, probably worth at least tens of thousands of pounds. There you go. There you go. On this day in 1886, nationwide demonstrations and strikes demanding the 8-hour workday begin in the US. I was going to say something about Marxism. I was going to disparage Marxism in some way, but in the 19th century, sometimes employers, often in fact employers, by our standards, would take the absolute mickey. Force you to work very, 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 very long hours because there was no law preventing them from doing so. On this day in 1924, the German automobile manufacturers, Mercedes-Benz, came into being. I won't bother trying to read all that, but... Well, a joint venture between Daimler and Benz. Mercedes-Benz. Okay. Sort of fairly immediately went on to start winning races as well. Fairly immediately went on to become the gold standard for cars in Germany anyway. On this day, 1931, the Empire State Building opens in New York City as the world's tallest building until the World Trade Center surpasses it in 1970. Yeah, the Empire State Building. Beautiful thing, isn't it? I think so. Was it like Art Deco, you would say, the style of it? Art Nouveau? More Art Deco, isn't it? Beautiful building. It's the reason why it's iconic, right? Okay, all right. That's what we've got for on this day in history. Let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chat, shall we? Let's do that. All right, let me do this so I can see the thing. Who's in at number one on the Rumble Rants? Place your bets. Who's in at number one? Correct. Global Church History, yeah. As it is basically every day. Global Church History. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You got to commit. You got to. You got to love the commitment, right? You got to respect the grind from Global Church History. Now, what have you said? You give us another couple of on these days in histories, don't you? Nearly always. You've said. On this day in 305 AD, Diocletian and Maximian retire. Another mention of Diocletian. A drinking game. Early morning drinking game. Hair of the dog. Every time Bo mentions Diocletian, you've got to have a shot. No, don't. That's crazy. It's too early. That's ridiculous. Unless you're up from last night. Or you're in America and it's still last night. Would that be? Is that a thing? If you was on the West Coast, it's still last night, right? Okay. Diocletian mentioned. Just Diocletian and Maximian retire. Yeah, so I said Diocletian, one of those few people in history, like at the top of a king or an emperor or a pope or a whatever, who deliberately chose to just renounce it and resign and abdicate. And he thought he was the senior Augustus. There were four emperors, haven't I? Told you about the tetrarchy, four emperors. And he made the other Augustus, the other senior emperor, Maximian, resign as well. So there's suddenly two less emperors in the tetrarchy, and the two junior Caesars become Augusti, and they pick two more people to become junior Caesars. It's a system that didn't last even really almost much beyond Diocletian's life. Diocletian then went into retirement, decided he just want to work a garden. He'd just spend his old age messing about in the garden. That's what he wanted to do instead. He'd had enough of high politics and battles and things. He just wanted to sort of grow cabbages, we're told. Yeah, in the next generation. He still lived for quite a while after that, though, a fair few years. He thought he was dying, but he wasn't. He lived for quite a few more years. And in the end, at one point, people wanted him to come back, come out of retirement. We need you. We need you, bro. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Come back. And he apparently considered it, but didn't. Then eventually, when during the rise of Constantine, as a really old man, but he's still alive, someone went round to his house and was like, you need to die now, though, bro. While you live, a faction can and will form around you. And one way or another, that's not in our interests. So you've got to kill yourself right now. And if you don't, we'll kill you. So you've got a few minutes. Probably that's what happened to Diocletian. The sources aren't like Zosimus and stuff. They're not perfectly clear. But something like that happened. Maximian. Oh, God, I haven't even got time to tell you what the adventures of Maximian after Diocletian forced him to retire. He came back. Honestly, I haven't got time. It will take 5 or 10 minutes just to give you just the bare minimum of Maximian. So I can't, I'm afraid, but I've got to really make content all about the crisis of the second or crisis of the third century. Never really stopped. The crisis never stopped. All about Diocletian and Constantine and so on. All right. Global Church History also says, on this day in 1328, England recognises Scotland's independence via the Treaty of Edinburgh, Northampton. Yeah, so that would be in the age of what, Edward the First Longshanks smashed the Welsh something fierce and hammered the Scots. He didn't quite finish the job when he died of natural causes. So his son, Edward the Second, took over. Very weak. Not a great martial king, Edward the Second. Sort of immediately made peace with them. And then tried stuff a few years later. That failed. Ended up having to grant them independence. Do you reckon I've got long form content all about Edward I and Edward II and Edward III and on? Find the paywall, bronze tier membership for as little as £5 a month, lotuslotus.com. Do consider signing up. Oh yeah, it's all there. All right. For Tim Barber says, morning mate. Morning sir. The PM cracking down on protests? The end of liberty in thunderous applause. That's Padme, isn't it, from Star Wars. The only decent line of dialogue in the whole trilogy, if you ask me. Will it be his last act? It's likely to be among his last acts, I would think. New Animal Farm releases today in the US. What, an adaptation of George Orwell's novel Animal Farm? Or something much darker than that? What are you talking about? New Animal Farm releases today in the US. That feels apt. Have a great weekend. I guess you'll talk about a George Orwell adaptation. I think I've got two long-form videos in conversation with one Connor Tomlinson breaking down George Orwell's novel and Animal Farm in stupendous detail. Yeah, it's there. Yeah. Check that out. Breaking down quite a few different George Orwell books. Done with Carl. What did I do? Road to Wigan Pier. 1984. Actually, I think Carl and Callum did 1984, but I did Road to Wigan Pier. I did talk all about Homage to Catalonia with Harry one time in the Spanish Civil War. What other? I did. There was another. Some short stories. Some Orwell short stories. Talked to Carl all about. Yeah, and Animal Farm with Connor. All right. Inchkit89 says, as a Teesider, is it canny good on Teeside? As a Teesider who hates the northern accent, you think it's stupid, stereotype. Oh, I see what you're saying. You hate the fact that that people think the northern accent is stupid. You hate that stereotype, right? It pains me when I hear Rainer talk. She genuinely is as thick as she sounds. Yeah, she does sound thick and is. You're quite right, perfectly right. And has a face like a bulldog chewing a wasp. Grim. Yeah. She's like she fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. Not that I'm an oil painting, but... she is rough. Okay, let's have a look at the YouTube Super Chats. Right. Rincewind67 says, morning, Bo. Good morning. One word, cannons. I assume you're talking about artillery pieces and not mammary glands. Best laugh in a long time. How did Stelios keep a straight face? Yeah, he played it so straight, didn't he? Have a great weekend to all at Lotus Eaters. Thank you very much. Anyone doesn't know what we're talking about. Yesterday, I was on the podcast with Stelios and Luca, and Stelios did a segment about that JP Morgan woman who apparently, allegedly, drugged one of her male colleagues and sexually assaulted him in various ways. And on the stand, it came out that she referred to her own chest, her own bosom, as cannons. That in and of itself is funny to me. There's no way that's not funny. But there's various words to describe boobs, aren't there? Tons of words in English. Loads. Dozens, right? Cannons. And she, that was what she said about herself. Yeah, and Stelios played the whole thing so super straight, so deadpan. Like it's a really serious thing. It's not really all that serious, is it? And towards the end of the segment, it was made clear that he was... like the memes that are on Twitter and stuff are funny. But to begin with, like for the first 10 minutes or so, he was playing it really deadly serious. Like you're not supposed to find that funny. Cannons. All right. Amelia for Restore says... Ayatollah, I need rip my sauce. Maybe, is that a typo there? Ayatollah, I need my rip sauce. Burned my lips. Harry, do you know what, am I misreading it? What is that? Anyway, it's a joke about the Ayatollah's burnt lips, isn't it? My rib sauce. Rib sauce? I don't know. Is it like you're trying to say something, if you didn't have any lips, you would be pronouncing incorrectly? I told her I nearly my rib sauce. I don't get it, sorry. But I get that you're making a joke about that he might have had his lips burnt off. Okay. Opening Doors 1 said, not sure, did the West vote for mass immigration? No, it didn't. No. No. In fact, whenever we have been polled or asked or governments have run on platforms about it, we've always voted against it. Okay. Lone Wolf and Cub says, certain pain and fear is more important. Yeah, I mean, that's what they'll have you believe, right? Yeah. Some people's pain and fear is more important than others, according to them, according to our government at the moment. Yeah. There's a tiering system of it. They're just saying it openly, aren't they? There's another way to take it, is there? Okay, Azzy0161 says, hi, Bo. Hiya. I wanted to ask what your thoughts are on the union. As an Anglo-Celtic man, I'd like us to remain a United Kingdom. We're better together. Yeah, as I say, I'm ultimately a unionist. Yeah. Yeah. So sorry, Graham Moore. We still need to have a chat, by the way, Graham, if you watch this. I am a unionist. I think we are stronger together. But having said that, I'm for England first. It's the most populous of the nations, isn't it? The biggest one, the most industry, the biggest economy, by a long, long, long way. Right, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland are just much, much smaller entities in every measurable way. So to not have England absolutely first and foremost in the union would be crazy to me. I am an English ultra. I'd be happy to describe myself that way. And if for whatever reason, say the SNP were given another independence vote and it did pass and they were given independence, I wouldn't lose many tears. I wouldn't lose much sleep over it. But no, if it's entirely up to me, I am a unionist, though. Still. Like, I've got a lot of time for Robin Tilbrook and the English Democrats, who are very, very strongly, like, anti-union. They just want England. I totally get it. Massively sympathise. Massively. I think in the final reckoning, when push comes to shove, I am pro-union at this point. But as about as staunchly pro-English within that union as you can imagine. That's just me. That's just me. Take it or leave it, I suppose. Okay. Let's have a look. F Google 2 says, I would take Jeremy Clarkson's tractor overall. That's just what you've said. I would take Jeremy Clarkson's tractor overall. Okay. Well, as leader. You don't want Jeremy Clarkson as leader. You want his tractor as leader. Is that what you're saying? I don't know. Don't really know what you're saying there. But fair enough, though. Fair enough. All right, there's a fair few more. Another half dozen more or so. We've got Joseph Delano Gareed. It says, Telegraph debate, globalist slop, I know. Yusuf slamming Tories for ruining the country, then cleverly going, yeah, but they're all in reform now. And then an emoji of a guy covering his face in sort of despair or cringe or something. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Get your mind around this. Zia Yusuf having a pop at the Tories for ruining the country, even though they've now got some of the very, very same people who did that in their party, reform now. Suella Breverman and what's that other guy? What's the other guy? Kadeem. I can't remember his name now. The other one. I can't remember his name. God, why can't I go? Brain fart. Anyway, number of Tories that were actually, or Robert Jemrick. The exact same people. Nadeem Zahari. The exact same people that did that ruining are now your top guys, Zia Yusuf. What are you talking about? Do you think we don't know or don't remember or don't realise what... James Cleverly, arch traitor James Cleverly, who I would absolutely put in the dock for crimes against the nation, pointed that out, though. Yeah, what an S show from start to finish. What a joke. Tourism reformers arguing amongst themselves who ruined the country most. And what colour rosette they're wearing now. Get rid of all of that. Get away from me. Don't want any of it. Don't want any of that. Disgusting. From top to bottom. From Zia Yusuf to James Cleverly. All of them. Get gone. It's sickening. You turn my stomach. Okay, Varul 231 says, Lammy more popular than Farage, lol. Well, in the poll on Breakfast with Beau, anyway. Yeah. The accelerationists love Lammy, don't they? That's what that is, surely. Not that you genuinely love Lammy. I've got to believe that Lammy is my Kang, is an accelerationist. I've got to believe that. Not genuinely a fan, genuinely, even though comically he'd say he is. It's funny, by the way. I think it's funny. It's great. It's a super fan. Don't go, Lammy is my Kang. I love you, we can make this work. And I get accelerationism. I'm not an accelerationist. I want my country to be damaged as little as possible, but I do understand the angle of accelerationism. To some degree, it might actually be desirable. That's how bad of a position we're in. That millions of normies need to be woken up against their will, if needs be, if that's what it requires. I totally get that. I completely get it. I just don't want my people and my country to be damaged any more than they need to be. That's all. Okay. Mac Monk says, your ancestors are rolling in their graves mildly. Yeah, a lot are. Yeah. 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 Crying shame. It is. I was a more emotional man, or an Italian, I might even shed a tear. Terrible. You're not wrong. Rolling in their graves. What have they done over the last 30 odd years? What have they done to this country? The elite, the ruling class. What have they done? What have they created? What sort of hell type society have they created? You can't let your women folk out at night on their own, because they won't be safe. Anyone might not be safe. In broad daylight, even. You took a higher trust, low crime society, homogenous society, and ruined it. Thanks, Blair. Thanks, Brown. Thanks, Cameron. Thanks, Boris. Thanks, May. Thanks, Rishi. Thanks, Starmer. Thanks for that. Yeah, you really rubbed our noses in it. Well done. Prance Hader says, he says, aware lady Snickers. Aware lady Snickers, just that. Got no idea what that means, but thanks for the super chat. Okay. Matthew C83, hi Matthew. Another super fan. Cheers for the super chat. You've said, I give it 12 months until old Nige is recreating Rupert's farm video shot by shot. Obviously then to subsequently betray us a la Boris post 2029. That's interesting. Yeah, I wouldn't put that past it. Nige was completely shameless and got no real vision, has he? No real vision, I don't think. Do or say anything for his own career. It's all a vanity project, isn't it? Basically. Only to then completely betray us a la Boris after he becomes Prime Minister in 2029. Yeah. Yeah. Any people in reform that aren't just paid party shills, search your feelings. You know it to be true, don't you? All right. And the last one for today, unless one comes in the next few seconds, is from Aristotle Luton. He says, morning, Bo. Have a good weekend, chap. Oh, and that's it. Cheers. Thank you. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that. You too. All right. Well, that's the show. It's now 17 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on the 1st of May in the year of our Lord, 2026. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for watching. Really, genuinely, thank you for watching. Without you, it's not a thing, is it? Try and make the best of the day ahead and the weekend, if you can. I'll pay DM. Seize the day. If you can. I know it's not always possible. If you've got free time, try and do something valuable with it, because you'll never get it again. You'll never have these days again. Got a finite number of them. Try and make it count. All right, until tomorrow morning then. Or Monday morning, rather.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.